Hello, good morning, and welcome to Raider Nation Radio. It's a Wednesday. Clay Baker, Vinny Bonds, and you're here in the morning tailgate. Thank you so much for being with us today. And this morning, big show lined up for you today. We'll do our four down territory. Several things to get into today in that first hour. We'll also talk to our good buddy Case Kiefer from the Las Vegas Sun, writer and editor with the Sun and the Las Vegas Weekly. We'll also talk to Marcus Johnson from Tape Don't Lie up on YouTube. Interesting breakdowns that he did this week as we start looking towards camp and going into some season profiles. Marcus joins us at 9, and then we do Street Legal with Ash, the attorney. Ash Watkins joins us from Salmon Ash Injury Law at 945, 702-365-9200. Well, that's the number, little one, to reach us here on both the phones and text line. You could also hit us up on X at RNR 920 AM. Keep listening. In about 20 minutes or so, we'll give you that keyword of the day for our Summer of Fun giveaway brought to you by Planet Nissan, where you send in a special word into that text number and you qualify for the big vacation this week. It's six days, five nights over in Nashville. Jack Daniel's Distillery Tour, by God, and $750 cash. You can't beat it. Keep listening. 20 minutes, we'll give you that keyword of the day. You can text it in and qualify so you can, you know, have all the glory for yourself. Or just take the $3,000 cash here this morning. Vinny, good morning to you. And it's interesting because after yesterday we talked about an interesting tweet and post that came out by Pro Football Focus on which quarterback has the best situation around them. There were 10 of them listed. And that either was like, you know, Aiden O'Connell or Gardner Minshew, which I think they do have a very good situation around. But guys like Caleb Williams and Kirk Cousins, they made the list.
Well, I think what they're doing is taking the quarterback and adding it to the situation. Mm-hmm. It just tells you what
singular, people, not plural.
Yeah, it just tells you what people, how people perceive the Raiders quarterback situation. I think
it's all about perception of quarterback.
Yeah, because I think if you put this group of, this supporting cast around and said it was Brock Purdy or said it was, Dak Prescott or said it was name any other, the perceived top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL, it would be a great situation for those quarterbacks. And I think they'd probably be on that list. But because the quarterback right now is uncertain and the two quarterbacks in competition for that job are Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew, a couple of guys that I don't think nationally anyone is looking at as a championship caliber quarterback right now. That obviously that can all change. But certainly Gardner Minshew hasn't shown, that he's that kind of a quarterback. And it's still really early for Aiden O'Connell. And what he showed last year was good. Not great or anything like that. He played well, played decently. So, and if you want to contrast, fourth round picks and he was a fourth round pick, just go look at what Dak Prescott did his first year as a fourth round pick as well with the Dallas Cowboys. Those are two different worlds that Dak Prescott was on compared to Aiden O'Connell. That's not taking anything away from Aiden O'Connell whatsoever. It's just being realistic about the situation. So, I think the Raiders not being on that list, and I don't know where they fell. It was just 10 teams, but I would imagine they were probably around 17 or 18. If maybe even
sounds about right.
Maybe even a little bit further down.
Yeah,
and that's because of the strength of the weapons, not necessarily the merit of the quarterback or quarterbacks that are in the running. So it goes back to what we were talking about in terms of Pro Football Talk's rankings, power rankings in general. The Raiders were 26th. When you look at this roster as a whole, collectively, it's certainly not the 26th best roster in the NFL, or worse, if you want to call it that. Mm-hmm. But because the quarterback situation is so uncertain and there's a lukewarm feeling nationally to the two quarterback candidates, that's what's going to happen. Yeah. This is a quarterback league, and until you've figured that position out and have it at a high end, you're going to be subject. The evaluation of you is always going to be weighed heavily on, well, who's your quarterback?
It is, and sometimes it's a little too easy to just dissect it that way. But like you said, when the Pro Football Talk power rankings came out and you see the Raiders at 26, well, that's like sixth worst, also.
It is.
And I don't think that really measures up to where the realities are with this roster.
It doesn't.
Regardless of who's at quarterback. But that's how people perceive it, and that's how sometimes most of the time the ship will go that way.
What were they that last year? They were the 13th, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were the 13th worst team, if you want to put it that way, or the 20. What would that make them? That would make them the 18th.
17th? Yeah, it'd be like the the
right there in the mediocre land.
It would be like just barely past dead flat average.
Right.
You know?
That's why I'm wondering. 26 is really low to me because I do believe that Gardner Minshew and even Aiden O'Connell have shown that they could be average-ish. I don't want to use the word mediocre. I hate that word in terms of it, but they're not horrible.
No.
And 26 for me feels like you think they're going to be horrible.
26 almost seems like your borderline rebuild.
Just a bad, kind
and
of
that's
a, yeah.
not where this team's at all.
No.
It's crazy just to see like from the inside to the outside. But I see generally on these lists that the Raiders continually get like overlooked in many regards, or at least in a way like whatever assets they have seem to be diminished.
Right. And that's why it's on. I keep saying this. It's on Aiden or Gardner to play a suitable level of football. If they can just do that, then to me this team has a chance to be a top 15 team,
mm-hmm.
because they do have everything else going for them. And if the quarterback can play top 15 level quarterback play in the NFL, I'm not expecting them to be a top 10 quarterback. Not expecting them to be a Pro Bowl. Not even Pro Bowl. That's a farce these days. But I'm not asking them or expecting them to be All Pro level quarterback. But if you could just be kind of middle of the pack. With what you and just play, good, sound, efficient football. It doesn't have to be world beating or record breaking. Just be efficient. Be efficient on third downs. Be efficient on in the red zone situations. Take care of the ball. And if you can do that, then this team has a chance to be a top 15 team. And if you're a top 15 team, then the way the playoff structure is nowadays, you're knocking on the door for the playoffs. Again, if they fall short of that, if the quarterbacks fall short of that, then 26th or so could happen. That's the real worry, and that's the real concern. And trust me, anyone that's going to look at your team, the first thing they're going to look at is your quarterback.
Yeah, it starts there with the most people. And conversely, on that list yesterday from Pro Football Talk, you got the Raiders at 26, and then at 25, it's the New York Jets, which last year at this time, that's the Super Bowl contender. Everybody loves it. And why? Because of the inclusion of a potential Hall of Famer, Aaron Rodgers.
I don't know what Mike Florio was thinking about there.
So
I don't know what Mike Florio is thinking at all with that. But to me, the Jets have a chance to be the team that turns around. There's two teams that I'm looking at that I feel can turn it around. One is the Jets. The other is the Chicago Bears.
And I think you and I both feel the way the Jets are constructed, it's their defense that really, even last year, if you were hoping for just some average quarterback play, then you would have like a really strong team because that defense last year was so excellent. I mean, because they were beset by everything and they were on the field almost twice as long as the offense every game.
And I don't expect Aaron Rodgers, if he's healthy, to be an average quarterback. I think he's going to be Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
And so now you add a really good quarterback. If he stays healthy, obviously that's the biggest issue. We just never saw the Jets with Aaron Rodgers except for, what, four plays?
No, that's it.
Whatever it was. I remember getting on a plane. And the minute I sat down, I had to wait online. It's they had the big national anthem and everything, all the pomp and circumstance. I'm like, all right, this flight has television. It was a TV situation, and I'm like, I gotta, however long flight, And then the next thing you know,
settle in for a nice little game, see how Aaron Rodgers is gonna look.
Zach Wilson's in. I'm like, what the hell happened? So I that's really like he has to be thinking. The only way Mike Florio could put the Jets there is by thinking that Aaron's going to get hurt again, or he's just going to lay a big turd. And, like, when would you ever think that Aaron Rodgers, whatever you think of him, however you feel about him, whatever controversies, whatever crazy things he says or does or mini camps that he misses, when has he ever been mediocre? Ever. Never. He's always an MVP caliber quarterback.
Never seen it. Yeah. Even on years where they had maybe some problems at receiver, or there were some problems getting out of the gate with a hot start, he still was amazing. And then he still made plays and still had that team in contention. But with the Jets, the hallmark of that team was their defense. And I'm thinking if you comparatively, especially when the Jets and the Raiders played last year. I mean, that was, you know, a 16-12 game. That was a hard-fought defensive slugfest. But it still seemed like if the asset for the Jets is their defense and it pushes them so high, you know, as far as like stature, then why doesn't the defense for the Raiders push the Raiders higher? And well, it's just because of quarterback only.
Yeah, but I mean, you would that's what I'm saying. Why are the Jets so low?
Mm-hmm.
Like they're not,
because
at least in Mike Florio's world.
I think their defense is as good as it was last year, and even with the inclusion of Hassan Reddick, maybe a little better on
right.
that defensive line.
That's why I'm wondering. Like I don't agree with the Raiders. To me, they should be like, I think they would be. I think a good starting point for them, if I was doing a power rank, it would be like 19-18 with a chance to be a top 15 team.
Okay.
That's where I would put them.
Yeah.
Okay, but at least I sort of understand where Florio was going. He was just paying so much attention to who the quarterbacks were for the Raiders. But I can understand. I have zero understanding of what he's talking about or thinking with the Jets. The Jets... maybe he wrote it. I didn't read it. Maybe he just said, look, I don't believe that Aaron Rodgers is going to be healthy coming off the Achilles tendon. So therefore, I expect this to be a struggle for Aaron Rodgers. I don't think he's going to be able to overcome this injury. If that's the case,
yeah.
then that's the case.
Sure.
But if you're thinking that Aaron Rodgers is fully healthy, and by all accounts he is, how could you, with that defense and everything else, they got a pretty good offense too. They've got weapons offensively. They just need a trigger man, and they have the ultimate trigger man in Aaron Rodgers. So when you're looking at that collectively and not assuming that he's not going to be healthy, you can't go in thinking that he's not going to be healthy, so therefore they're the 25th team in my power rankings. Behind the Denver Broncos?
See, that's where I was starting to be like, hey, now
behind the Saints, like
yeah, this is where it's like that that Matador El Toro, and he's like waving the red flag against the bull, and Raider Nation's like, wait a minute, we're gonna respond to this, we're gonna react, and it almost seemed like that it was just a almost like a clickbait type power rankings, because the Jets also, you know, their fan base gets besmirched as well.
It's a contradiction,
and to think that the Broncos are that much further ahead, oh hell no,
it's a contradiction.
Hell no.
Because on one hand he's saying I'm gonna knock the Raiders for their quarterback, whoever their quarterback is gonna be, and therefore. That's why they're going to be as low as they are. But out of the other side of his mouth, he's saying, like, I just don't get
the Bo Nix, Stidham, and Zach Wilson triumvirate is still better
Rodgers,
than what the Raiders have.
Aaron Rodgers, how can you, by all accounts, he's healthy and ready to go. If he's healthy and you know, playing Aaron Rodgers level football, there's no way they have a chance to win their division.
Mm-hmm.
I believe.
Yeah.
You know,
it's totally possible.
Right. So.
Absolutely. And, you know, as far as like, you know, we were talking about defensive lines, and, you know, there's such a critical, you know, component or asset to any team's success. In fact, most teams feel like when they go into the NFL draft, they're like, we have to find more impact players on the defensive line so we can remain competitive for a long time if they feel that quarterback situation is tenable. And the Pro Football Focus now comes out with the defensive line rankings, which I always feel like for the Raiders, that's your crown jewel, the defensive line. That's the one that stirs the drink. That's your massive motor that always relied upon could get you through the games. And as what Antonio Pierce said many times, like, great defense and a run game, that travels well. Well, the defensive line just travels well. They have so many good contributors all across the board. It's not just Max. It's a lot of different guys. Patrick Graham really has something very, very special now in going into the third year. So where do they rank up against everyone else, according to PFF?
Ninth. And I think that's fair because you're still, you know, I think the question is, okay, so how does Christian Wilkins truly fit? You know, I think it's going to be fabulous, but you know, that's me kind of assuming that that's going to be the case. We've seen situations where guys leave as free agents and it doesn't pan out. So you have to give a little bit of room for that. And then, you know, does Malcolm Kuntz pick up where he left off last year over the last 9 games? Is he on that track to be that kind of a player over a full 17 game schedule? John Jenkins and Adam Butler, are they going to repeat what they did last year? A great unknown still in Tyree Wilson and certainly Byron Young, two second-year players who, you know, have to take steps forward. So there is a little bit of, even with those questions, though, because you have Max Crosby, because you have Christian Wilkins, that has the starting points for a top 10 defensive line. My contention is if you turn some of those questions into certainties with Malcolm Kuntz, with Tyree Wilson, with Byron Young, and obviously Christian Wilkins being exactly who the Raiders thought they were getting, this has a chance to be a top three defensive line by the end of the year. And it is, you know, the Jets, I'm not so I think the Jets defensive line is good, but number one, they've got him at number one. The Detroit Lions are good. Are they better on paper, do you think, than the Raiders?
That's a sad thing, because you could see how they got pried open like a can of sardines in the NFC Championship game by the 49ers. So adding some pieces to the puzzle for Detroit on the defensive line, it's almost like, all right, well, did they address some of the issues, and let's give them a couple notches up? It still remains to be seen, because they still have star power, Hutchinson, right? But at the same time, are you getting depth? Do you have the run stopper? Raiders made sure that they got that run stopper this year in free agency in Christian Wilkins. Did the Lions?
The 49ers are number two. They lost Eric Armstead. That's a huge loss. He moves on. Yes, you've got Nick Bosa, Javon Hargrove, Leonard Floyd is a nice little complimentary piece as a pass rusher opposite Bosa. But number two, I don't know. I think there's been some attrition with the 49ers over the years, losing DeForest Buckner and now Armstead. Those are two big pieces. Heck, there was a time when it was Nick Bosa, Armstead, and Buckner, and there was one other guy that was really solid as well. So they've lost a lot of players over the years. As crazy as it sounds, even the Clee Farrell loss, he turned himself into a pretty nice run defender last year. He's no longer on the scene. So leaving them at number two seems a little bit ambitious to me for the 49ers. I'm interested in tracking that to see where the 49ers defensive line ultimately ends up when it's all said and done. I could see the Raiders replacing the 49ers as the second best defensive line by the time it's all said and done.
Oh, and what an achievement that would be, because both defensive lines on both teams, the 49ers and Raiders, were built through the draft, right? And then you eventually get little guys like along the way for free agency, but that's why the 49ers enjoy such a good reputation, because they possibly have a top 12 player at every defensive position, including the defensive line. So it's almost like they're taking it as like, well, this falls in line with the rest of their plan and draft plan. We have to see certain guys now perform, when they're now getting a chance to start. So it's almost like they're taking it for granted, like, well, we don't know what the production will be, but we take for granted that it's a sound formula
for
success.
They've lost a couple of the draft players.
But the Raiders have now built their defensive line in the mix of that.
Right.
Homegrown talent. And
For the most part.
But it's a good ferocious lineup where you feel like, all right, there's not only you got starters, but the depth is there too with youngins coming in.
And the depth is one of those questions to me, because we don't know what they're getting from Byron Young. We don't know what they're getting from Nesta Jade for Silvera. We don't know what they're getting from Tyree Wilson. It looks like it looks promising, but promise has to be eventually turn into production. And that's, to me, that's the only reason why, as of right now, they're not a top three defensive line, because I think there is some allowance, and I get it. That's why I'm thinking ninth is good for the Raiders right now. There's room to grow, obviously, and there's room to get better. And I think they have potential pieces to push this forward into a top three defensive line. But it is all predicated on those names, and including Malcolm Kuntz. There's no certainties that he's just going to pick up where he left off. If he doesn't, and Tyree doesn't move forward, and Byron Young, isn't a factor, then this could, I think still with Max Crosby and Christian Wilkins and Adam Butler and John Jenkins, I think it still has a chance to be a solid top 10 team defensive line. But for it to be one of the great defensive lines or an even better defensive line, that depth that looks promising on paper has to turn into a reality.
And also on this list, it goes 1-2 with your Jets 1, 49ers 2, Eagles 3. See, the Eagles were relying so much on their defensive line last year that by December, and they went through that crazy gauntlet in their schedule, that they couldn't stop anybody. It's like it wore out. That defensive line could not sustain the rigors of a full season. And you can see it unraveled. It was a part of their undoing as they approached the playoffs. For Detroit, at number four, it's still a prove it for me on that, because even guys like DJ Reader that they got, he's hardly at 500 snaps a year. I don't know what you're going to get. But Cleveland Browns is kind of getting – see, I felt Cleveland Browns would be in the top five, maybe a little higher, but they are fifth. That's the defensive line that you want to worry about. And the Raiders have to deal with that. That's going to be a formidable presence for the Raiders offensive line early in the season to see what, you know, the Cleveland Browns are going to do, because if they have any sort of synergy on offense, this is going to be a difficult team to stop, because the defense pretty much just crushes everyone in their path.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the Philadelphia Eagles. Their starters right now are Milton Williams, Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, Bryce Huff. You've got N'Kobe Dean is in there. You got Brandon Graham is in that mix. It's got the potential to be really good. Mm-hmm. But Jalen Carter, it felt like he kind of waned a little bit as the year went on. Is he ready to be a reliable force for 17 games? I think it's a little bit ambitious. For the Philadelphia Eagles, that's another team that's lost some players, and some players have been good but not great in their drafting. I also think a new defensive coordinator. It just felt like last year there were some whether it was messaging or buy-in or dysfunction. There were some things going on with the Philadelphia Eagles across the board, and certainly on defense. So now, they've made obviously some changes, and so we'll see if that's back on track. But it feels like for the Eagles, it's going on a little bit of reputation more than certainty that this group is going to be as good as the ones that they've had in the past. So that's another one that I can see falling out of the top 10. If certain things don't happen.
Yeah, I could definitely see that, especially last year when they were 10-1, and then they get three straight losses, and then they go 1-4 the rest of the way after that. So you could see that even during times when they face the Arizona Cardinals and they allow over 220 yards rushing to the Cardinals, okay, that's problematic. Here on Raider Nation Radio, we're taking a look at defensive line rankings for the PFF numbers and where the Raiders rank. They're ninth. We're taking a look at the teams ahead of them, and why is that so? We'll get into more of this on the other side here. It's Raider Nation Radio. It's Vinny and Clay on your Wednesday. Stay tuned. We'll give you that key word of the day in 6 minutes' time. It's Raider Nation Radio.
Second 14 for the Broncos. Stidham's in an empty set. Two receivers each way. Got the snap. It's a broken play. He's in trouble. And he's wrapped up around the ankles for a sack. Tyree Wilson back at the 19. Dropped him for a loss of two. And that was disaster for Denver right from the get-go.
Well, the moving the defensive end inside, that's always been a part of just like for any rookie edge rusher. Both for myself and for Robbie Leonard, who's our D-line coach, who does a great job. It teaches them to use their hands, and because they're dealing with a more immediate block from the guard or the center. So I thought that was really critical to Tyree's development. That's going to help him out on the edge. I've told you before, we utilized that before in the past, the different spots I've been. So that was good. And then with the whole offseason, he's doing what everybody else is doing. You know, I want to single him out, but they're all working hard. They got great kinship or camaraderie going on in that D-line room, and it's infectious, and it's spreading throughout the defense, and you can always feel those guys out there on the field. Whether you hear them or you feel them, it's a beautiful thing to see.
Patrick Graham, Raiders defensive line coach, defensive coordinator, Robbie Leonard getting the praise there as DL coach here back on Raider Nation Radio.
And don't forget Andre Carter.
Yeah, Dre is a one of those many players, former players, now turned coaches, that really is going to get the best out of a lot of guys.
And somebody
who's been with some fantastic teams already. And, you know, what does that bode for the Raiders this year? As we're taking a look at Pro Football Focus's defensive line rankings, they put the Raiders at ninth. We're looking at the teams that are ahead of them with some dubious introspection. I'm not saying that they don't deserve to be there. I'm just saying I think the Raiders have a step up. And one of the teams that's on this list, like we said, it goes, you know, Raiders at ninth, Steelers at eighth, but the Indianapolis Colts at number seven. And I'm like, I don't know. We're talking about defensive line, right? But this is still a defense last year that the Colts, they were 28th in points allowed. Okay? That's a lot. Okay? Raiders were ninth. You know, Colts, they gave up some points last year. And that's a crazy thing. They gave up 415 points last year. Raiders gave up 331 points.
Well, let's look at their depth chart. Quidipe, the youngster from Michigan, right? Grover Stewart, DeForest Buckner, really a fantastic player. Samson Ibukapan, Igopan. Wait, how do you pronounce it? I always forget how to pronounce it. Ibukam, former Ram, former 49er as well. They also drafted Leatu Latu from UCLA, so he's somebody that I think everyone thinks highly of. But you know, when I'm looking at that at that starting group, I mean,
yeah, they tallied up some tackles for losses and some quarterback hits, but nothing that I'm fearsome about.
I don't think they're better than the Raiders. I think ultimately.
Grover Stewart, I mean, yeah. He's been in the league a while, but I mean, that's still just not like, those are solid guys, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But I don't see like the power inside the rotation. I don't see like the star presence either.
Right. I think Leatu has a chance to be a star. I think DeForest is can be considered a star player at his position.
Okay.
And it's defensive tackle, so it's you know, not the glory job, but I think there's star power or the potential of star power with the young rookie from UCLA, and I think a high level of play from DeForest Buckner, but certainly, you know, Samson's bounced around. He's never really been, you know, a force or a great player. Always been a solid player with the teams that he's been on. Quidipe, I'd have to look at his, you know, the production for Quidipe, but it doesn't sound like doesn't feel like he's been, you know, like this major star.
So yeah, I mean, it's 8.5 sacks. Yeah. 8 tackles for losses, 9 quarterback hits. You know, it's just a little tick, you know, around where Malcolm Kuntz's production is.
Right, exactly. And so, I think that's one where I would have to raise my eyebrow over them. And I don't think I think on paper the Raiders just flat out look better.
I do too.
Yeah,
shame.
Yeah, they have a two Pro Bowl caliber players in Max Crosby and Christian Wilkins. You know, and an emerging player in Malcolm Kuntz, and really solid players in Adam Butler and John Jenkins, and the potential of a star Wilson, the youngster from Texas Tech, Tyree Wilson, and then somebody like a Byron Young, who, you know, a third round pick, who obviously he needs to step up his game, and if he's given the opportunity, Willie or Woolney. So yeah, that's one where. Not feeling it from Pro Football.
Not feeling it. Now, if you want the Steelers on this list in the top 10, I'm okay with that. You know, you got that great mix of star power. You're regularly there. It's a very it's such a consistent force, right? Mm-hmm. It's just you just come to expect it, and they work so well with the rest of their defensive unit. You know, when that game happened last year with Jimmy Garoppolo at Legion Stadium was getting sacked and hit in so many different directions, it was insane for it. Like the offensive line and running backs and anybody trying to pick up pass protection, you couldn't find everybody on the field. It really was. It was a piece of art what they were doing here on the Raiders' offensive line. And if Jimmy was holding onto the ball, he really paid for it.
Right. Anytime you start, your starting point is T.J. Watt.
Mm.
I mean, mm-hmm. he's a force, a tour de force. So it starts with that. You know, Cam Hayward is in that mix. They've always another one of those organizations that is just fantastic at draft and development. Sometimes you might not know the names, but all of a sudden you see him play and you're like, holy cow, where'd this guy come from?
Right.
You know, and they've always had, you know, good sound defensive coaches and principals. So. I think that's fair, without question. That's fair, but I also believe Again, I really believe that this Raiders team has a chance to, this Raiders group has a chance to go from number 9 to number 2, maybe even number 1 by the time it's all said and done. That's how much certainty there is on part of this cast, and then promise on some of the others in this group. But it's on those others to really fortify it, because if they do, then watch out.
Yeah, and you could see the great strides that the defensive line made last year from 2022. Sacks, 27. Last year, 46. Tackles for losses in 22, 68. 82 last year. So when you now have points allowed where you're almost, you're almost getting like 80 less points allowed in 1 year, those are the reasons why. Because you're able to go and get such good pressure on the quarterback, and you're providing so many different things. And it's not just one guy last year. You know, they had contributions from all over, from Jenkins to Butler, Malcolm Coutts, Tyree Wilson started to flash towards the end. Everybody started to, like, find their role in there. So you have it spread out. And for a guy like Patrick Graham, you got to be happy when you see, you know, guys getting, like, 3 sacks here, 5 sacks here, 5 different guys that you can count on. That depending on what rotation they're working in and what matchup they have, they can do a lot of different things. And also last year, we got a chance to see what Max Crosby was able to do when he would line up differently at different positions. And I felt like when he started doing that by middle of the season, great things were beginning to happen for that defensive line.
I could be speaking out of my ear, but I doubt very seriously there's any defensive line in the league that has the combined production. And I know Christian Wilkins was on another team. I get it. But when you look at his sacks, his quarterback hits, his tackles, his pressures, and you combine them with what Max Crosby did in those statistics and Malcolm Kuntz did in those statistics, mm-hmm. I don't think that you can find a trio of defensive linemen on the same team that can get that combined for that much production. And now they're all on the same team, and you know, I think they have a chance to equal or even surpass that, especially if Malcolm Kuntz, you know, can deliver a full season rather than just kind of that half a season, at least in terms of the sacks. He was still generating pass pressure. He was still generating, wreaking some havoc from his defensive end position. He just wasn't getting to the quarterback for the sacks. That was the ultimate final little straw that for him, and he started accomplishing that. Over the last 9 games of the season, if you could do that with the sacks for a full season, you combine that with Max and with Christian, what they did last year. Again, I don't think that there's a trio in the league. I don't care who you look, whether it's the Jets, the Eagles, the Steelers, the 49ers. I don't think that there. And here's another thing: it's hard for me to believe that the Chiefs aren't on that list somewhere.
You know, I was wondering that too. Like.
I know they've lost some players, but
yeah, I was kind of combing in the break, like what was last year's list and where did they rank last year?
They were a top what 3 defense last year. they were a physical force up front, so I don't know. I think that for whatever reason, I think that the Chiefs defense always gets underrated coming into the league, and then you look every year, and then you look at the numbers at the end of each year. And Spags has those guys playing, and so I would expect at the end of the year you're going, wow, how'd they miss on the Kansas City Chiefs again? You know, because we're always so fixated on what they do offensively, you forget everything that they do defensively, which is usually pretty damn good.
Sure, I mean, especially with one with star power, when you have somebody like Chris Jones, but it's homegrown talent, guys they drafted, you know, a third rounder like Derek Nnadi, Mike Dana, a fifth rounder at defensive end, Georgia. Carl Fidus. It's like you got guys that are so dependable in the league that any team would say, like, all right, this could be a premium player, and we feel like we're going in the right direction. Just one of those guys would help any defensive lineup. But be that as it may, I think the Raiders are in the right spot being in the top 10 on this list, because if that is your crowning jewel, if that is the asset that you most prize on your team, I like the fact that even comparatively, they're in the top 10. They're in the conversation, and I'm with you. I don't think they're far off from being 2 or even 1.
Well, yeah, and that's the good thing. Starting at number 9, you have room to be even better. If you start number 1, all you could do is fall at that point, or hopefully live up to expectations or not. But I think they have the talent in place, the correct personnel in place to move up these rankings. And if so, even if they just finished as the 9th best defensive line in the NFL, that's going to go a long way. for this defense. But if they can push that even further into a top five slot by the end of the year, then that'll go a long way as well.
All right, let's do it. Before we take a break, we'll give you the keyword of the day for the text line. Send it in now for your chance to win the 6-day, 5-night vacation to Nashville, Tennessee. You got the Jack Daniel's Distillery Tour on top of $750 spending cash. Text the word CONCERT to 702-365-9200. CONCERT, CONCERT, CONCERT to 702-365-9200. You qualify for the chance to win that awesome vacation, or you just get the $3,000 cash. It's up to you. Thanks to Planet Nissan here on the Summer of Fun. It's Raider Nation Radio.
The countdown has begun. Preseason action starts for the Raiders on the road as they take on Minnesota August 10th before playing their final two preseason games at home hosting Dallas and San Francisco. Then the real fun begins on September 9th as the Silver and Black will be in L.A. to take on the Chargers with another road game the following week in Baltimore before opening up at home on September 22nd against Carolina. All games can be heard on Raider Nation Radio 920 a.m. Now back to Clay Baker with your morning tailgate on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
From the text line 702-365-9200, don't forget, text the word CONCERT into 702-365-9200. You qualify for the Summer Fun, this week's drawing and cash giveaway. A $750 spending cash, Jack Daniel's Distillery Tour, and a 6-day, 5-night trip to Nashville, Tennessee. Y'all, you're going to love it. From the text line, this is from Jose in a 323. Will Christian Wilkins sap into, I think that's what they're right, sap into Max Crosby's sack total? Because I could see maybe the thought that if you're going to have two studs on that defensive line, could one start tearing into another's stats, or will it just accumulate somebody else's stats? For Max Crosby, how do you think that'll work out?
It could go both ways, but it doesn't diminish the havoc that both guys can create. So even if for whatever reason on certain plays, maybe Christian Wilkins gets there just ahead of Max Crosby to get the sack, and maybe that theoretically takes away from a sack from Max Crosby. I wouldn't even stress on that. I think collectively they're going to put so much pressure on the quarterbacks and play so well against the run. And you know, there's enough stats to go around. But I wouldn't in this case, that might be the case, but I would not I would not let quote unquote lowered statistics maybe from either guy diminish what they're actually doing out there. Don't focus just on the statistics. Now, on one hand, like the texter said, it could actually help both because it's taking pressure off. The other guy's presence is taking pressure off of Crosby and Wilkins, and maybe freeing them up to wreak even more havoc. And that certainly can be the case. But if collectively they're doing the job at a high level, but individually, some of their numbers are coming down as a result because both guys are eaten. It's fine. Just look at the ultimate production and the havoc that they can create.
Jose, hearing us talk about it, just to sense something is like I was thinking in terms of Max's quest for a defensive player of the year. Okay, I see what you're saying. Like if stats are really that important, but I think they'll take a lot of that into account if both of them are very, very strong. I still think Max can get a very good nod out of that because it's been, from sixth in the voting to fourth in the voting. I think now is like that year where he's getting now really a really good, fair spotlight of what he's able to do. And now you're probably, because Wilkins will take up several defenders on his own, that Max will be able to allow it to be roam free. And maybe you'll actually see something that is different from Max's game, although we think we've seen it all from Max so far. But I think you'll see a lot, maybe more one-on-one matchups. And that's what you really hope for.
That it would be idiotic by other teams to do that, but hey, it's probably going to happen, right? Because you still have to account for number 94. Is it 94 or 93? You still have to account for Christian Wilkins. I'm still learning this year's numbers, maybe.
Yeah, maybe he'll be 94.
Yep. Yeah, maybe. you can't just use, and I hope that the voters don't just use, you know, sacks as the ultimate, barometer. Obviously, that's gonna come into play when you're deciding upon the Watts and all the great defensive ends in this league. You're gonna look first and foremost at the sack total, but you have to also, and I think that hopefully the voters are savvy enough. Well, what are the quarterback pressures? What are the quarterback hits? What are the how many times are they winning one-on-one battles? How many times are they splitting double teams? You know, and what's the win rate on the pass rush? Even if you don't get a sack, that doesn't mean you didn't win, that rep and create havoc. Maybe you didn't get the sack, but maybe you rushed the quarterback to throw an interception or an incompletion on a key third down, which is just as valuable as a sack, mm-hmm. right?
That's true.
If you're getting the team off the field on third down because you're breathing down the quarterback's neck and making them throw a bad throw on third down or an incomplete on third down, what's the difference between that and an actual sack? Either way, you're creating a positive impact for your team and a game altering. Anytime you stop a team on third down and force them to punt, that's a game altering play because now you're giving your team, possession. So you have to start putting value on other things outside of the sacks. And even if Max's sacks total comes down, I actually think it's going to increase. But even if it stays pat or comes down, look a little bit deeper to figure out what kind of havoc is he really creating on a down by down, game by game basis. And I think that'll tell the actual story.
702-365-9200. Keep them coming here on Raider Nation Radio. Last one, we're going to talk to Case Kiefer in just a few minutes from the Las Vegas Sun. Someone's asking about Robert Spillane. He said 3.5 sacks last year. Do you think he'll add to that total this year with the added pressure from the defensive line? Spillane at linebacker. Yeah, there were certain times when they would deploy him in that regard. He had a few tackles for losses, too. If he needed to be in the backfield, he could be there. He was so versatile last year.
Yeah, I liked him. Even going back to when I watched him on tape with the Pittsburgh Steelers, when they deployed him as a pass rusher on blitzes, I could definitely see that. I could see Nate Hobbs getting, some sacks off the corner. I could see some safety blitzes. So I think that because there's going to be so much, attention paid to the defensive linemen, you should be able to exploit that because there's going to be open gaps to run through for your defensive or for your linebackers. And I think guys like Christian Wilkins understand the role that they can play in eating up. That's another thing, mm-hmm. About defensive tackle. Don't always just look at the sacks. If he's getting double teamed and taking a blocker away from somebody that would be otherwise blocking a Divine Diablo or Robert Spillane, well, now your run tackles for your linebackers go up because now they're just filling wide open gaps and hopefully filling the hole and making the tackle at the line of scrimmage or in pass downs, shooting those gaps through in blitz situations and maybe getting to the quarterback or again forcing a bad throw or getting a ball tipped and creating an interception. So certainly we look at the final numbers with those sacks and even tackles, but if your defensive tackle like a Christian Wilkins is taking on double teams and opening things up for other players, he's doing his job at a very high level.
It's Vinny and Clay. First hour is done. Case Kiefer starts it up next here on Raider Nation Radio.